Good morning. Welcome to Convoy United Methodist Church. If you are a visitor with us, we are so glad that you're here. We are glad that you have chosen to worship with us this morning. If you would like to know more about us, you can find us on Facebook. You can also connect with us on the web at convoyumc.org. And it's also printed in your bulletin. And so those are some of the ways that you can connect with us. If you would notice, if you are a visitor with us, there is a place in your pew to fill out a card for us. If you would fill that out and put it in the collection plate when it comes by, it helps us to know who's been with us and who's visited with us this morning. We have a couple of announcements that are pretty important for us today. The first one is that tonight is the Youth Dinner Theater, and so we're really excited about doing that, and that will be tonight here at 5:30. On Wednesday, we are doing a caroling at 7, so we invite you to join us for that, hopefully with that, or the 23rd. And, you know, the good Lord willing, well, we would not be good enough to have 70 degrees and that close to Christmas, but it would be nice. I think we could handle that. So we will get in the Christmas spirit on the 23rd for the caroling, and there is a Christmas Eve service at 7 on the 24th. There's some other meetings that are in your bulletin for the trustees, and so please look at your bulletin insert for the news. Is there anything else from the congregation that I've forgotten? There being none, let's prepare our hearts for worship. Stand with me for our opening prayer. Creator God, God of all things and all time and all space. We come this morning that we might seek your face, that we might find joy in this Advent season, that we might find redemption through Christ our Lord today. We pray, O gracious God, that as we join together, as we worship you, that you would bless us with your presence and that you would affirm for us your love for all of us. We pray that you would be here in this time of worship as we quiet our hearts and quiet our minds for this hour and this time. We pray it in your name. Amen. Join me in the call to worship. Redeemer God, we come to you with laughter in our hearts and joy in our very bones. For you save the lame and take away the shame of the outcast. Restore us, O God. Amen. You may be seated.
If Jesus comes to us again at Christmas this year, and if Jesus dwells within each of us, shouldn't that make a difference in who we are and how we live our lives? Hear these words from 1 Thessalonians.
Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6 to 24.
If we seek Jesus, who is born in the manger, shouldn't we be at peace among ourselves, help the weak and poor, not repay evil for evil, but always do good to one another. In all circumstances, give thanks.
As we light this third candle, let us remember that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus who comes to us.
I invite you to stand again to sing Joyful, Joyful, number 89.
Thank you.
and we work together to redeem and restore one another. So I invite you to pass the peace of Christ with one another. To come forward as we sing Jesus Loves Me. Can we squish? Okay, you can sit right here on the step. All right. This is a great problem to have, is to have too many kids to fill the first pew. Well, I am so glad that you guys are here with us today. We talked today about, the lessons are telling us today about being who we say that we're going to be and having integrity. And so in the Bible tells us about John the Baptist who talks to people who come to be baptized, and he says to them that maybe they're not really, that their hearts aren't really in the right place, and that they really just came to get off the hook. And so I have some things here that are going to help us out with the lesson today. I have a couple of canned goods that I brought, aka brought up from the food pantry, so remind me to bring them back down when I'm done. And I have some things. So what do you suppose is in this can? Go ahead.
Soup.
Soup, what kind of soup?
Like soup.
Yeah, what does it say? Can you read that? Tomato. It says tomato. Can you see that? Yeah. So we got a can of tomato soup. What do you think those are? Yeah, those are green sweet peas. Yeah. How about that? So that would be pretty cool. And I think I got one more in here. Okay. What's that?
Corn.
Do you like corn? You must like corn, huh? Yeah. Well, what if I said, oh, my goodness, I want some corn today. That would be my best thing. I'm going to go home. And I opened it up, and it was sardines. You know what sardines are? They're like little fish, and they stink. What if it was? What if I opened it up and it was fish? That would not be good, would it? No. What if I said, oh my goodness, I really want to have some grilled cheese and tomato soup, because nothing goes better with grilled cheese than tomato soup. And I opened it up, and instead of it being tomato soup, it was apples. That wouldn't go very good with grilled cheese, would it? No. Or what if I said, oh, I need to get my green vegetables, and so I want some peas, and I opened it up, and it was tomato soup. That wouldn't be right, would it? No, we want what's on the label to be what's inside, don't we? Well, the same is true for us, that a lot of us that say that we're Christians, we put a lot of labels on the outside of things. Like, I wear a cross, and I think that the cross maybe would let people know that I believe in Jesus. And I have a bumper sticker that I put on my car that, you know, around this time of year that says, Jesus is the reason for the season. And I think that helps people know that I'm a Christian. And I have a cross in my that hangs from my rearview mirror. And it's all sparkly, and it's got glitter on it, and when the sun hits it, it reflects all over the place. It's super cool. But what if I was driving down the road, and somebody decided to go too slow, and I started getting up on their bumper and yelling and screaming out the window at them? Do you think that that would look, that they would think that I was a Christian? No. The label on the outside wouldn't look much like what was in the inside. And so we do that sometimes. Sometimes, you know, the world wants to know that when we say that we're Christians, when we say we believe in Jesus, that we act like it. That what's on the outside is what's on the inside too. And sometimes that's hard to do. It's hard to do when we're disappointed or somebody makes us mad or we don't get what we want. But it's what Jesus calls us to do. And so people will look at you and they'll say, you know, you think, well, I'm really young. Who looks at me? But you'd be surprised that people look up to you. And they want to know that what you say you believe in on the outside is what's on the inside too. So let's have a prayer. Heavenly and gracious God, we thank you that you had teach us to be true to you and to really love you and be what's inside, what we say is on the outside. Help us to do that, especially when it gets hard and people make us mad and things don't go our way. And help us, oh gracious God, just to love you and to follow your example. And we pray it in your name. Amen. All right, guys, I have the suckers to pass out. And you need to take how many? Two, right. One for you and... One, two for you? No. What do you do with the other one? I heard... Yep. One for you and one for somebody else, and you tell them about God's love. Got it? Would you help me today also with a... Thank you. So I'll give you that. There you go. And then I don't believe there's junior church today, is there? Yes. Oh, yeah, okay, there is junior church. So you guys, when you get your suckers, can go ahead and go. Thank you for being so patient, you guys. You're at the very end here, and you had to wait a long time. Thank you. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, you guys. I completely forgot about you being back here. There you go. Thanks, guys. All right, and we gather our joys and concerns this morning, and I want to start by letting you know that I did visit yesterday with Madge, and that they have found cancer, and so they're making decisions on what to do and whether to go home or go to hospice, and so to keep that family in your prayers as well. Any others? Way in the back. You got to run way back there, see?
I just wanted to let everybody know that my dad did come home on Tuesday, and we appreciate everybody's prayers for him, and we thank you very much. He's doing really good, and he's home for Christmas, so that's the best thing ever.
So Dennis is home, and he got home on Tuesday? Yeah, and so that's a blessing. We are so grateful for that. Any other? Yeah. Other praises, prayers?
I don't usually use a microphone, but this is too important not to listen, not to hear. You'll notice out in the foyer or vestibule out there that we have a Christmas tree. It's gathering for a particular family. If you will, close your eyes and just vision this. You have a young family that's going through a divorce. That's bad. You have family with young teenage girls. That's worse. Now you're putting the mother in the hospital. Does it get any worse than that? They don't know if they even have a Christmas tree. We don't know if they have anything to light. There's nothing to put under the tree. So we put a Christmas tree out there to help this particular family. Now, we understand that you will give more than what we need, so we're asking, if you have extra, please, we could use gas cards. We could use cash to buy stuff. We could use Walmart cards, anything that the people could get goods. I also heard yesterday that Walmart is not doing their tree. So there's going to be a lot of people hitting our food pantry. So if we can get some of those cards, we can put down the food pantry and the people can pass out so they can get their gas, they can get extra things that they would need. Also, we'll note downstairs that we brought in a bunch of water. The Lions Club found a bunch of water, and we got a recipient of a lot of that. So there's a lot of good things going on, but I'm thinking there's going to be a big need coming up pretty soon. So if you have it in your heart and you can, please help us out.
Thank you. Others?
Just to add to Bob, don't forget that next Sunday would be the last Sunday before Christmas. So if you take something off the tree, please bring it back wrapped with that tag attached by next Sunday.
So make sure it comes back by next Sunday. Any others? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly and gracious God, we know that in the midst of the season that we are supposed to be full of joy and happiness and just to have spent time entertaining and being just full of joy. And yet we know, Lord, that for many, many people, It's not a time of joy, that they find it hard, that they grieve, that depression may set in, loneliness. And so, gracious God, we ask that you help us to know that it isn't about the gatherings and the parties and that, but that it's about the birth of your Son that offers us redemption. Redemption and restoration. And that you value us for who we are. So we give you thanks and we give you praise and we lift up and give you thanks especially for Denny that came home today or Tuesday, Lord, and that you would be with the family and to surround them. I'm sure, Lord, that it's one of the best Christmas presents that they could have ever received. How amazing that is. And we give you thanks for those that you've been healing, Lord, over the last weeks and months and the people in our prayer lists and all of that and all of those that are homebound, Lord. We continue to pray for those in need. We're keenly aware that we are blessed folks and that there are families that have very little that they need to get by on. And so we ask that you help us to be your hands and feet that we may reflect your love. We ask for those who grieve today, Lord, for Jay's family, that you would surround them. You would love them and hold them and keep them up in your arms, Lord, and just comfort them in this time. We pray for the families of the victims of terrorism around the world, whatever forms it takes for those that have been stranded because of weather-related catastrophes, for our neighbors globally, for our elected officials, and ultimately, Lord, for your will to be done. We ask that you would hear these prayers and that you would listen to the prayers of our hearts. as we participate in your redeeming work, Lord, we pray for the whole community and the whole world as we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. As we pray for one another, God also asks us to put our hands and feet into use, and we do that in the gathering and receiving of our offering. And so I ask the ushers if they would come forward for our offering. Please stand as you're able.
Praise God from all the saints, Lord. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all of the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy.
Abundant God, in this time of buying and selling, accumulating and overindulgence, draw us closer to you. Help us share out of our abundance. Help us proclaim your good news in our words and in our actions. Bring us into your love, that we may be your presence in the world. Amen. You may be seated. The reading comes to us, the Old Testament reading comes to us from Isaiah. Knew they were on my head. It's so warm, they're steamed up, though. I hope they work. It's Isaiah 12, verses 2 through 6. See, God has come to save me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. The Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has given me victory. With joy you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. In that wonderful day you will sing, thank the Lord, praise his name. Tell the nations what he has done. Let them know how mighty he is. Sing to the Lord, for he has done wonderful things. Make known his praise around the world. And let all the people of Jerusalem shout his praise with joy. For great is the Holy One of Israel who lives among you. Amen. The next reading comes to us from Zephaniah, the third chapter, verses 14 through 20. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all of your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. For the Lord will remove his hand of judgment and will disperse the armies of your enemy. And the Lord himself, the King of Israel, will live among you. And at last your troubles will be over and never again fear disaster. On that day, the announcement to Jerusalem will be, cheer up, Zion, don't be afraid. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in your gladness. With his love, he will calm your fears. He will rejoice with your songs. I will gather you who mourn for the appointed festivals. You will be disgraced no more. I will deal severely with those who have oppressed you, and I will save the weak and the helpless ones. I will bring together those who were chased away. I will give glory and fame to the former exiles, wherever they have mocked and shamed. On that day I will gather together and bring you home again. I will give you a good name, a name of distinction among the nations of the earth, as I restore the fortunes before their very eyes. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The next hymn I invite you to stand for is number 152, I Sing the Power of Almighty God. You may be seated. Would you pray with me? Almighty and gracious God, we pray that these words be words that build us up and restore us, that we hold on to your promises as we go through this Advent season and as we prepare our hearts for your coming. And we pray it in your precious name. Amen. So part of the preparation of Advent, the preparation of the coming of Christ, involves restoration, if you've gotten that so far, and redemption. So we've been talking about that the whole act of Christ is to offer the possibility of these two things, restoration and redemption. We are, as humans, are being fully invited in the participation of both for ourselves and for one another as we come through this Advent season. All of us need restoration on a personal level, but we are also in need of restoration on a corporate level as well, on a global scale, if you will. One is the work of each of us introspectively as we think back and work on our own selves, and the other is on a much larger scale as we work as a community, as we work together in the redeeming work of Jesus. One is the work of us, but it all is the work of Christ. and Christ among us so that the kingdom of God can be experienced. So it is both personal and it is corporate at the same time. And I want to look at both aspects of redemption. And if I want to look first at the personal, at what does it mean to each of us? And I think it's a primary work that all of us need to do as we prepare for Advent, as we get ready for Christmas. We can't work towards the kingdom of God if we aren't prepared personally. So what does that look like? What is that about? You know, whenever a news story hits the presses or breaks about someone committing some kind of heinous crime, I wonder about the possibility of redemption for that person or those folks. And how is it that they receive it? In the Christian church, we call it repentance in some ways. Last week we talked about repentance, we've talked about judgment, we've talked about all of those things in preparing our hearts for the coming of Christ. And this morning I want you to know that as far as redemption and restoration goes, it is God's work. It is God's work, God's redeeming work that God offers to us. And I think we must fully recognize that we've done something wrong. We have to accept full responsibility for having done it. We must determine to not do it again. We must make amends wherever that's appropriate and resolve to aim at improving ourselves in the general direction of good. But the good news of Advent, the good news of Advent and of the gospel is that it is already done for us. We simply need to accept it. We simply need to accept it and give in to it. And so I want to share a story with you. I was listening to a TV program. It was the 700 Club. And I heard this story, and it's a remarkable story of redemption. And as I was listening to it, I kept thinking, man, how can this person be redeemed? Is there anyone too far from us to be redeemed? And it's a story about a guy named Jeff. He says, I was one of the largest producers of online pornography in the country. I had 1.3 million registered user images and a staggering number, thousands and thousands of hours of video. Jeff Myers never set out to be a pornographer, but by his late 30s, he was king of an online pornography empire. My soul was sterile, he said. I was dead inside. I really had no conscience whatsoever. It was all about me. It was all about making as much money as I could possibly make. Jeff was driven by childhood insecurities that ran deep. I've never really measured up, and I was always trying to obtain something that I could never get to. It kind of centered around money. The more money I could make, the more successful I felt, or at least I could make other people believe me to be. He married in his early 30s, but after 5 years, it ended in divorce, and he ended up spending most of his time and his money in strip clubs. It really became a second lifestyle. I was spending thousands of dollars a week in these clubs, vying for the attention of these young ladies. Within a short period of time, that lifestyle, little by little, became only too real to me, he recalls. I had to have the attention. It made me feel important. For the first time in my life, even though it was fake, it didn't matter. I felt like I was important to somebody. One night, a dancer told him that she wanted help starting her own pornographic website, and he said, I thought to myself, I can do that. Sure, I can do that. And the first week, we did 6,000 in sales, and he instantly was hooked. Within a year, he had 19 websites. We were doing sales of $30,000 to $40,000 a month. In 2 years, I sold my whole program for $2.5 million. For three more years, Jeff produced pornographic material. He began taking the drug ecstasy to get him through the days and through the nights and dealing with the shame that he had. It was about 150 hours a week of drug-induced fake happiness. that was as far from real as you can get. He said, I knew I was destroying lives at that point. It caught up to me mentally that what I was doing was disastrous, not only for the models and the people that I worked with, but for unspoken numbers of people in general. I knew that something was going to have to give, but I stuck to it. And this drug kept me happy. As much as I had people around me, I was so completely alone. So many times, even in a crowd, I was by myself. One of the models asked him at one point to remove her photos from the web, and he said he couldn't do it. They'd already been sold. And finally, she asked him to share with him some of his ecstasy for herself and for her friends, not realizing that she had been talking to the police for a number of months. He gave her the pills. Within a few hours, drug enforcement officers raided his home and arrested him. They charged him with manufacturing and distributing methamphetamine and ecstasy and took everything he owned. He said, it cleared me out. It left me sitting in this big house looking around and wondering what had just happened to me. I was severely depressed. Everyone had abandoned me. I went upstairs. I grabbed a bottle of vodka and a bottle of Vicodin. I took all of them and I drank the fifth of vodka. I should have died. For some miraculous reason, though, the next day I woke up. I woke up and I knew that I needed help and I couldn't do it on my own. So in desperation, he remembered a church camp that he had gone to as a young man, and he drove there the next day. He said, I don't know. He said when they did an altar call, he was the first one to come up, and he prayed for God to forgive his sins and to give him a new start. He said, I don't know if this God thing is going to work. I've done way too much harm. And in my mind, I had gone way off the deep end. I found no value in myself or in my life. There was no redemptive values for me at all. I wasn't worthy. Although I knew that something had happened that day, I certainly didn't feel like God could restore me. He sought out an old friend from the camp who was a pastor friend, and within a few days he'd moved in with the pastor and his family. He was very broken and searching and really didn't know what to do with his life, says the pastor. But I knew that our church would offer grace and love. And he needed that. He needed that if he was going to have any restoration at all. He didn't. Jeff says, what they did was just what Jesus would have done. They loved me. They didn't look at my past. They didn't see what I'd done. They just wrapped their arms around me and loved me and took care of me beyond what I possibly could even imagine. He said he spent the days reading the Bible and listening to Christian music and worship music, and before long he noticed that something was different. Over the next several days, I'd wake up in the morning with a new worship song in my head. Each morning it was different. It was just like I was being washed from the inside out. My mind was being purified and all those things were going away. It completely washed my mind. I had not been relieved until then of my shame. It was like he had used the music and the stuff I'd read and cleansed me and made me new. He poured me out, the old me out, and started all over again. And that's the point where I said, wow, he can fix me. Me, with the mess and the millions of lives that I've touched in a very, very negative and disastrous way. But he still loves me. Ultimately, Jeff was sentenced to prison. He used his time in prison to study the Bible and study scripture and learn worship music. And he used the skills and the gifts that God gave him to establish a new website called Godbeat TV. He says, instead of sharing filth, he's giving me an opportunity to share God's love and put it in as many homes as we can. It is my personal mission of redemption. It is like God's given me the skills, so I should use them for his glory instead of his destruction. He says that he's experienced love, God's love and mercy and grace that he never believed was possible. My life was a disaster. He said I was a drug addicted, alcoholic, pornographer that ruined millions of lives, but he's taken my life and he's turned it around. He loves me in spite of my mess. And I'm still growing and still learning. Jeff's story shows us the depth and the breadth and the width of God's love for us. In all the ways and all the places that we've fallen short. We may not be as deeply flawed as Jeff. But I wonder if all of us don't carry around some secret harm that we've done to someone. Someone, a harm that if we allowed ourselves to ruminate over, would risk losing our faith in our own goodness and in our own self-esteem. The lessons for us are personal and deeply personal. We all need restoration. We all need to be restored. And yet, even in the Old Testament, it leads us and talks to us about the restoration of community. The lesson that we have today is from Zephaniah, and he helps us to understand this picture, this corporate picture, too, of redemption. His primary focus is on Israel and the Judeans. It was a dark time for Israel. The folks of Israel had long ago given up on worshiping God as the only God. They had brought in idols and icons of all the neighbors. They had reduced themselves to being God's people in name only. And God knew it. He was a contemporary of Jeremiah. It was around 600 BC. They were at an all-time spiritual low. In the opening verse, we hear Zephaniah proclaim, "It," meaning Israel, "has accepted no correction. It has not trusted in the Lord. The officials within it are roaring lions. Its judges are evening wolves, leaving nothing until morning. Its prophets are reckless, faithless persons. Its priests have profaned what is sacred and have done violence to the law." It was a difficult time to live. There was oppression from the secular government and from those within the faith. Neighboring people were threatening their borders. They were fighting. They were at risk. There were poverty and injustice all around them. Zephaniah simply reflects on what is going on in their own community and their culture. And God then promises to deal with the sins of those who persecute them and harm the oppressors, so that justice is restored. And God promises restoration to people. I want you to hear it in this version. I read it out of our Pew Bibles, but in this version I want you to hear. It says, "On that day you shall not be put to shame because of the deeds by which you have rebelled against me, for I will remove them from your midst. You're proudly exalted ones, and you shall no longer be haughty in my house. For I will leave in the midst of you a people, a remnant, humble and lowly, who will seek the name of the Lord, the remnant of Israel. They shall no longer do any wrong and utter no lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths. Then they will pasture and lie down, and no one will make them afraid. The Lord has taken away the judgment against them and has turned away their enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst, and you shall fear disaster no more. At that time I will bring you home, and at that time I will gather you in, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the people of the earth, and I will restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord." And he's not talking about material things in the fortunes, but in their inheritance, their fortunes and their trust in God. He will restore them as a people, loved and beloved. As we continue to hear about violence coming from our own global neighbors, as we continue to feel oppressed by the looming and growing size of our own government, that is slowly eroding away our rights as those who with more continue to get more, and those with less are limited in their ability to get by in some ways, in some very clear and some really tangible ways we can relate to Zephaniah. We too are a culture that needs redeeming. N.T. Wright, one of my favorite theologians, said this. He said, to hope for a better future in this world for the poor, the sick, the lonely, the depressed, for the slaves, the refugees, for the hungry and for the homeless, for the abused, for the paranoid, for the downtrodden, for the despairing, and for the fact, for the whole wide, wonderful, wounded world is not something else. It is not something extra tacked on to the gospel as an afterthought. And to work for that intermediate hope, the surprising hope that comes forward from God's ultimate future into God's urgent present, is not a distraction from the task of mission and evangelism in the present. It is central and essential and vital and life-giving. The whole point of what Jesus was up to was not saving souls for a disembodied eternity, but rescuing people from the corruption and the decay that they currently experience. So this is actually what this text is about: redemption and restoration for us personally and for us corporately. God knows our sins and knows where we have fallen short and never, ever, ever gives up on us. God continues to work on humanity, offering hope to those who would return to God. God knew that he would have to do something radical, something drastic, to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves in any way, shape, or form. This is the good news of Advent. May we all open our ears and open our hearts to accept God's offer of redemption and restoration that is already accomplished in Christ, so that we may be about redeeming our world as well. Amen. I invite you to stand for our closing hymn, He Leadeth Me, number 128.
Thank you.
God's put it on your heart to come forward for prayer, for restoration, for yourself, or if you feel called to pray for our community and our world for restoration, I invite you to do that as we leave this place. May you go in peace. May you be restored. May you accept the restoration and redemption that is offered to each and every one of us, no matter where we've been or what we've done, through Christ our Lord. Go in peace. Amen.